Horn, 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 horn. Big news before we get into anything. Perk your ears up, children. That sounded really shitty. Hello, friends. Welcome back. We do have a bit of a warning for you. Today is the last day to get your WBAH first quarterly Yeti print. You've seen it. We've showed it to you. It's beautiful. And if you've even thought about it, you just got to know today's the last day. And then it goes away forever.
Forever. A little thing I like to call forever.
No big deal. Just never, ever coming back. Ever once. Don't tie us down to that, but probably.
But odds are never again. So if y'all want to grab one up, and just to clarify, we are shipping these out internationally. If you want to grab one of these up, hop on over to Wabah Print Shop. That's W-B-A-H printshop.com. We'll be running these through midnight, and then they's gone forever. So if you want the full set, we're doing a theme of seasons this year. So if you want spring, if you want to decorate your altar, and this you want this to be there for your spring altar, this is it. Today's the day.
Today's the day. Again, that's WBAHprintshop.com. I feel like I'm coming off super aggressive.
It's okay. I think I did too. What's up, Boot Scoot?
What's up, Weesnaw? How are you today?
Dude, I'm living. I'm living good.
I'm alive.
I'm really enjoying the fuck out of my day.
What have you done with your day so far?
I got up this morning. I'm kind of thrown off. This day is moving much quicker than normal because of the time change. But it just kind of makes it seem like I woke up this morning early, still like my kind of normal-ish time, like 6 or 7. It was darker outside than normal. And I was like, oh, I'll read for a bit. And I read for a bit until like how the sun normally comes up when it's only like 8:30 or 9. And I looked up and it was like 10:30, almost like 11. And I was like, fuck. So like I lost a chunk of time, but it was nice. And I just got lost reading for a good bit. And then like I went out and I set all my seedlings back out in the sun because we had a rainstorm yesterday. And like I put all them back out and I checked on all the little duders in the bed doing their little growing, all in the little aquaponics beds. And they're so cute right now. They're just so fucking precious. I love it. I love everything about it.
I love that you said they're doing their little growing.
They're
doing their little growing.
They're doing their growing. They're real happy about it. And so kind of piddled around there for a little while, made sure the beds were running right. Then I came in and I went, it's just all boring shit. It's mundane. I went for a run after that, you know, it was a good run. It's like 75 outside and sunny. And I got some new shoes like 4 or 5 runs ago and they're feeling like really good now. And it was just a good run.
Nice and broken.
Yeah. Yeah. They're barefoot shoes.
Oh, okay. Hold one sec. Are barefoot shoes the ones with the toes?
Not necessarily. They can be. So I can't have things in between my toes. I can't even wear flip-flops. I can't. These have...
Like legally or...
No, like I just... I'll scream. I hate it. And
but can we pretend it's legally?
Yes. It's an actual medical legal condition that I cannot have things between my toes. It has to be accommodated.
Medical... A medical legal. All right.
No, these have an open toe box. They're open. You know what they almost look like? They almost look like pool shoes, but like a little, but shaped a bit more practically. And they're like they're exactly the same, like heel to toe. Like there's no incline on the heel or anything. They're called zero drop shoes. And they're flat. And so, and they have like kind of a thin rubber sole. So like when you're running, dude, it's great. I just feel like a lizard and you just like grip the ground and it's so so tasty. I really enjoy it.
As someone who is very naturally flat ass footed, I can't even comprehend what you're saying right now.
Well, it actually helps.
I can't
a lot.
I can't conceptualize having an arch in my foot.
Oh yeah. Well, and see, I have very high arches and these help like a lot. Cause you have to like, you can't run the same in these as you run a normal, like run, like tennis shoes, like running shoes. Like it changes things. And like my calves are having to stretch out more because running shoes typically have an incline on the heel and these don't. And so like, even if it's just millimeters, my heel is like falling a little further every like strike now than it ever has, you know, and everything's having to like stretch out and adjust. But like, I don't know, dude, I just feel like a fucking like panther when I'm running. It's so fucking delicious. I love it.
Do you think you're going to grow like 6 inches because you have to like stretch your heel out more?
Well, I...
What if you became like six foot tall?
I just stretch out immediately. Yeah. I have noticed that my posture is vertical and straight, but I noticed through stretching that my right hip has been just like ignored and super locked up and tight for I don't know how many years. It was causing me to strike weird when I walked. And I was stretching one day, like I've gotten into like really deep stretching, like the kind, it like hurts to the point of almost being so good you can't stand it. And
oh yeah,
I like just super, and I was stretching and this, it didn't hurt. It was like, I felt it open. I felt it all unlock for the first time. And I don't know how long, I didn't even realize there was a problem. I was just stretching my hip and subconsciously I've just been focusing on relaxing as much as I can when I stretch. And I must've just relaxed just enough for everything to just shift. And literally my hip shifted an inch into place where it should be at all times.
You just relaxed so hard.
It like opened up that whole hip joint and like my feet and everything shifted. And I realized my hips were straight. And then I was like, oh my God, my hips have been like an half inch to an inch shifted to the left forever. This is a problem.
And when that happens, it always makes me feel like it's like the rest of your body feels off kilter then.
Everything
just because it's
is.
A new...
And yeah. It's exhausting. So I've been working on it and like training myself to kind of walk now that I'm aware of what it feels like to walk evenly with both sides of my hips. And it makes my knee hurt so much less now that I'm aware of this. Like my knee doesn't hurt all the time. But my hip is not used to it. Even after years of running and everything, these muscles are so unused from being locked up. It gets exhausted just like normally. So it's like, it wasn't a long run today because I'm having to be like, use the hip. And then that hip muscle is like, well, I'm so tired. And so it was like, but it was fun. And I don't know. I'm very excited about it. I'm on a whole self-care journey at the moment.
Oh.
Yeah. It's like, I'm just really like working on this, like trying to get this all fixed.
I love it. I love it, dude. I have been wearing corsets on a daily basis.
Excellent.
Even just around the house. And dude, you said something a second ago about posture, and it has sorted my posture.
Yeah, you don't have much choice.
Yeah. I was going to say, it forces you to. It's not like you just, they're like, oh, I should sit. No, you're fucking, you have to, or it hurts.
Yeah.
That has been very, very nice. I've noticed like a lot less back, like lower back pain and shit like that. You're just sitting at the computer. I'll just sit there. And you know, that feeling that you can, you know, when you're just sitting proper or you're doing something proper when you're not used to doing it properly. And it just, it hurts. But in that, like, oh, this is supposed to have, this is good. Kind
yes.
Of way.
I know exactly. That's yes. I know exactly what you mean.
So, yeah.
Well, I'm glad we're both on these journeys of self-discovery.
Look at me, Macy.
Look at me, Charlie.
Look at us. Look at me, Macy.
I'm not stopping. I'll just be like making bread or like doing the dishes, and in my head, I'll say, look at my Macy.
I all the time. I am so happy that this has stuck with you as well. Because it's just fucking stupid shit. Like, I got up in the middle, you know, when you get up to pee in the middle of the night and your brain's not fully functioning?
Oh, yeah. No,
and then you don't really even remember. Like, I never remember going back to bed.
I don't either.
Because I'm already asleep, you know? But I swear to God, the other day I got up, used the bathroom, and I'm washing my hands, and it just cropped up. Look at my pasé. And I just giggled to myself at like 3 a.m. alone in my bathroom.
It's actually him, whatever his name, Tom Collins, whatever his fucking name was. Tom Bombadil.
That's what it was. It was Tom Collins Bombadil. Yes.
Oh, well, good. You know what? I'm glad we're both just living our best lives.
Yep. Is that all it takes?
Hey, I'm all right with that. I'm okay with being easy to please.
Look how easy it is to live your best life. Slap on a corset and some running shoes or barefoot shoes and you're set, dude.
At once.
Ew.
What a look.
That's a look.
Yeah.
Yeah! All right, dude. But listen, homie, before we go any further.
Sure.
We got to dedicate this episode. It's important.
Who do we have? Who do we have this week?
This week of the Witch Bitch Amateur Hour is brought to you by Bunny.
Oh, just two syllables. Interesting.
Bunny. Yeah, it's like Cher. Well, I mean, I was going to say that thing about Cher before you said the two syllables, and then you said it, and then I realized how stupid I was going to say it.
Okay. You know, this should be simple, because it's just two syllables, and that shouldn't be that bad, you know.
Bunny! La-da-da-da-da-da! Bunny! That's Woman by Harry Styles.
Oh. I wasn't sure, not because of your singing, but because I've never heard that song before. But you were doing it, and I was like, what is it? What is it? Should I know it?
Also, dude, if you had heard it, you probably still would not know what the fuck it was on about.
Oh. I've got to listen to it, though, because I actually do have a bit of a soft spot for Harry Styles. I like what he's doing.
Dude, I'm not kidding you. I've been on a bit of a kick. And I think it's a little trendy right now. I legitimately like it.
I haven't really listened to him much. I've heard Sign of the Times, which is pretty much it. But I did think that was a really nice song. I liked it. But I just like his whole just like dabbling and just fucking androgyny and just kind of whatever the fuck he wants to do right now. And I just really like that.
Yeah, seems like knowing literally nothing about him or anything about it at all, seems like a good cat, so who knows. That being said, if he was just canceled for something, like right
he's
before this
pull
episode
an Army
comes
Hammer.
Out.
He's going to pull an Army Hammer and he'll be a cannibal right after we mention him for the first time ever.
Dude, what if that becomes like a trend for us? Anytime we talk about somebody for the first time, they turn out to be cannibals.
It's like accidental cursing. Yeah, just make you a cannibal.
Let's see. Who else have we never talked about before on this podcast that we can just absolutely doom? It's like as soon as we speak their name, they stick their nose in the air and they're like, man flesh.
Oh, okay, you know what? Actually, I'm glad that didn't happen because I was going to talk in my whole what part of the exuberance of my run, I was going to talk about who I was listening to today. But now I'm really glad I didn't because I've never talked about them before. And maybe that's a good, we can never talk about anyone new ever again.
Well, see, now I'm here on out. I'm in anticipation, not knowing what you have to. Come on, fuck them. Throw them under the bus.
I mean, I guess that's, you know, the high likelihood is that we're not actually cursing anyone.
No. Fuck them. They're a cannibal. Fuck them. Talk about them.
Oh, poor fucking Billy Strings.
Oh.
He doesn't deserve it.
Poor. Huh.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, I feel like he's too wholesome to become a cannibal all of a sudden.
I'm having to Google Billy Strings.
Oh, he's so excellent. I have heard several like songs that come from different playlists and whatnot. And, you know, it's like an artist that just keeps coming through to me. And every time I hear a Billy Strings song, I'm just like, oh, my God, this is excellent. Oh, fuck, it's Billy Strings, of course. And then I started recognizing the voice and I love his voice. And so today I just like put an album on a full, which is usually how I like to listen to music is full albums. And I like to sample music when I run. And that's what I would just ran to. And the whole album fucking slaps. It's his home record. And it is so good. And I was running to that. And it was just absolutely, absolutely tasty. But you should listen to it's Watch It Fall. It's a really, really, really good track that has that excellent way of bluegrass to where it's delivering a really solemn and gut-wrenching message wrapped in an upbeat tune. And it's kind of talking about like climate change and the state of humanity and like it's a Watch It Fall. But it's like in this beautiful little tempo and whatnot. And it's, I don't know if he did it intentionally, but it kind of creeps in. So like the first couple verses like aren't that bad. And it's not like, you know, you can tell maybe right out of the gate that it's not going to be like lyrically the happiest song ever, you know, but it's like, you can't really tell what it's about. And then it starts getting more and more on the nose with the verses, and each one of the verses get more and more dire as the song goes. And I feel like he did that on purpose. And it's just like the issue itself to where it's like, oh, it's kind of buzzed around. We've heard it now. And you know, it's been ignored. And now it's a big fucking problem and the world is ending. And the song is timed just like that, you know, and
it just is zeros to 60s real quick.
Yeah. And it just kind of, it kind of builds. It's like, oh, you know, like this is happening. And then, the greed caused this and this did that. And, you know, now the polar ice caps are melting and now the sand in the hourglass has run out, you know, like that's kind of the timing of, I listened to it twice in a row and I was just like, holy shit. Which I'd heard it a lot, like when it's on one of my playlists, but when I run, I listen to shit a different way. You kind of hit a subconscious level or like state, and it just stopped me. And I was like, oh my God, this is great. But like,
you just became Billy Strings.
Yeah, I mentally connected with Billy Strings.
That fucking cannibal.
Actual cannibal.
Actual cannibal Billy Strings. So he's one of your, like, no matter what of his comes on, you hear it. And then you're like, oh, of course it's him.
Yes. I mean,
right. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
I recently have been going through a thing just like that. I see recently, probably for a couple of months, with fucking Nick Cave. Nick Cave thing that comes on.
Wonderful.
Whether it's fucking like Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds or The Birthday Party or Boys Next Door, like whatever it fucking is. Shit comes on and I'm like, oh man, I fucking dig this. And the thing with him is sometimes the voice sounds different. You know, it's not a very, you know, it's a recognizable voice, but sometimes there's, you know, you just wouldn't immediately be like, oh, I know who that is. Uh-huh. And I swear to God, that's happened like 3 or 4 times lately that I have a song on loop and I'm like, oh, this is good. And I'm like, who's the boys next door? And then you look into it and you're like, oh, I get it.
I didn't know much about Nick Cave until I started watching Peaky Blinders. Cause he has a lot of music on Peaky Blinders. And it was the same thing. Cause I used to run to that soundtrack a lot. And like his songs would come on and it was just like that fucking moody ass grooving, you know?
Oh yeah.
And like, I love Abattoir Blues. I've loved that song so much. Mm-hmm. Such a good ass song. And just so many of them. And like every time one of his songs would come on, I was just like, this, I get it. I feel it. I feel it in my bones.
It is definitely a whole ass mood. Mm-hmm. And that's another thing about it is when the song, you know, it's there's certain songs you can just have on in the background. I don't feel like that. When one of those songs come on, I have to stop what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And if I'm not feeling it, it's like I hit skip. So, you know, fucking.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I don't know. Harry Styles can come back in the room.
I know exactly what you mean. I have those on my playlist and they get skipped often, but when they don't, it's a moment of just like,
I'm like, I don't want to wear you out.
Oh, okay.
More often than not, I'm like, I just don't have the mental emotional capacity for this right now.
That's how I am with The Seed by Aurora. Like every time. And it's like, that song makes me cry every time. I moved so painfully every time. But I'm not always in the mood for that. And so it's just like, sometimes it'll come on and I need to be in the right place at the right time to almost just like solemnly buckle up and be like, okay, let's do it, you know? And then it's this moving experience, but I'm not always there. I'm not always there for it, even though I love that song so
much. I'm like that about, and I know the artist is, she's done some shit lately that is this, I'm not speaking to her, but the song Breathe Me by Sia is the same. Like, it that one will get me. That's one of my I cry every time I hear the song songs. But I guess we should talk about witchcraft. Listen here, Mace Wad.
What?
Scab Toes. You go first this week, all right? What are we talking about?
I have a rune for you. I'm talking to you about a rune.
Oh, that's right. You said that in the live.
Yeah.
Cue plug for our Patreon lives.
We talk about things of relevance.
Well.
Every now and again.
Yeah. What rune? You're doing the one that looks like a little corset stitch, right?
Yes. Ingus.
Ingus.
Or Ingwaz, which is what I have usually, that's like what I learned it and saw it as, and I'm going to switch back and forth between both because both are used, but it does seem like Ingus is like, I don't know, like the more prominent name tied to it from what I could tell. It also looks like a diamond, so it doesn't always have like the upper stitches of like the corset stitch. Sometimes it's just like the little diamond, but both of those.
Ingus, do you know what it is? Do you know what you're covered in if you take two different slimes and you put them on yourself? Ingus.
Excellent job. Good job. Gold
star. The whole time you were talking, I was sitting there putting that together.
It was worth it. Don't worry.
Okay. Well, okay. Go on.
So, unlike some runes, we don't have
80.
As much of an explanation from history as to like the on-the-nose meaning of Ingus. However, we do kind of have clues and context that helps flesh out what Ingus represents, what Ingus means in the Elder Futhark. So the use of Ing, which often it kind of implied like being of the place that the Ing was attached to. So if you were a something Ing, you were of that place. Does that make sense?
Mm. Yes.
Okay. So this kind of takes us to the word Ingling, which means people who were from Sweden. And in Sweden at the time, their most honored god was Freyr. And Freyr himself was also referred to sometimes just as Ing. So tying it all together here, Ing, Ingus, kind of. So that's to say that it's believed that Ingus is the rune of Ing or Freyr. So Freyr is a fertility god, brother of Freya. And often he's depicted with a massive erection.
I was hoping you were going to fucking say that.
Statues, like, I mean, it is there, man.
Well, I mean, as I want my fertility gods to be.
Right. Yes. Super virile. Okay. He's constantly letting you know how potent he is from afar.
From very, very afar.
So, you have Freyr, the god that this rune is tied to, and the meaning of this rune, I forgot to mention in the beginning, is the seed. So,
Jesus, this is on the nose.
Well, right, but this is, I really, really, really love this rune, because this rune is deeper than it seems once you dive into it. And I really, really like that about it. It has such a, it has such a deeper meaning of fertility in ways that we think about it, and consequences of fertility and things like that. It's super deep. I really enjoyed writing this all down. With it being tied to Freyr, it's more masculine, of course, in energy. Kind of the counterpart of the rune Birkana. Ingus, it inspires this release of energy at just the right time, the most fruitful time. It inspires action and like good, like energized action, this release of inspired energy at the time when you need to do it most. And it's a rune of creativity, creative energy, inspiration. with Freya ruling over agriculture and just kind of the agrarian ways, the prosperity and sustainability of humanity is also represented here. This is not a conquest rune at all. It's a really good rune to work with, especially in times of spring, like when we're in right now, when this long stored energy, you've waited all winter long, you've planned out your garden, you've gotten your seeds ready, you have it all mapped out in your head, you're just waiting for that last frost to leave. So you can, that's the energy that's, you know, you're springing into action and you're ready. And when you can, and I know it's this way for me lately, you do kind of just erupt into action. It's like you just get out and you start working on things. And that's kind of the energy that we're talking about here. It's the just the action and the prosperity that comes from this building of energy and planning and the fertility that comes from that. And
you could say it's a climax of sorts.
It really is. And that kind of, and that's what I like about it. It's like, yes, it's like a fertility rune. The god it represents has a major hard on all the time. But there's different kinds of fertility involved here, you know, and it goes layers deeper into the not so literal fertility, into like just prosperity and things like that, and how you can use it to be prosperous and things to keep in mind. So the same energy, the same action and reaction can be said for the seed itself, which falls into the ground, you know, pretty much at the end of harvest before, you know, when things die and rot and fall to the ground and shed their seeds. It waits patiently throughout the dangers of the cold winter, surviving fucking birds and mice and shit. And then it explodes in action right at just the right time. And they all do it together. You know, they just, this action. And it's important to remember that this required a sacrifice. You know, essentially the death of the parent plant had to happen in most cases for this seed to exist. And that's kind of that energy of sacrifice exists in Ingus. All creation requires sacrifice, whether it be pain, money, cost, time, in order to just create it. A sacrifice has to be given. If you want to paint on canvas, cotton had to be harvested for that. You know, it's like everything that you use to be prosperous, it comes from somewhere. It had to be sacrificed from something. And it's important to not only remember that, but also that's part of the energy that you're putting in this time of great action. You're sacrificing your time and your effort and your energy and, you know, things like that to get done the prosperous action that you want to do. And on that note, and this is where I really, really like how this, I love this about this rune in general. So he was the wielder and distributor of wealth and prosperity. You would honor Freyr if you wanted to expand your wealth to be prosperous, which is also, it makes sense why he was one of the, he was super honored, you know, who's like a very prominent god. And he wasn't, though, about the destruction of nature and whatnot in order to be prosperous. That's what I meant by this is not like a rune of conquering. He promotes this life of more affluence in a well-rounded way, to where sacrifice is thought about and sacrifice is given. Yeah, you might not make as much money if you don't destroy this acreage for a quick buck. Yeah, you might make more. But the problem is that decreases the overall wealth of the future. So if you, in order to be truly prosperous, you could have all of this money and crops and shit, but another measure of prosperity was the future of your children. Because if you are taking away their future prosperity, you're not being prosperous, you're on a loan. And that's it.
Right.
And that's the difference here, you know, is that it was like, no, prosperity, you... The object is to not be as rich as you can, as quickly as you can. You have to remember sacrifice goes into everything. And you're not being truly prosperous if you're ruining the future for the upcoming generation, because that's your wealth too. That's your seed, your lineage. and you're going to kill it by your own goddamn greed. And so I love that. And it's, we've completely lost that in society today. And I just, I think it, it's just something so important to think on. And yeah. And so, I mean, essentially to sum, like to sum up that element of it is like, leave it better than you found it. If you're not leaving it better than you found it, you're not succeeding here. You're just creating more problems for your own selfish gain.
That's interesting. It's sort of like the, it's almost like that concept of the whole versus the self, or like community versus self, but in a timeline kind of way. It's like you are only as prosperous as, instead of the community, as your future.
Yeah, your lineage. Yeah, your lineage. Future family and whatnot. And I just, I think that's such a good way to think about it that is not being thought about today by people in power. So by gathering and storing your energy, to wait, kind of to wait until the time of action, that's kind of the gestation period of the seed, you know, in this metaphorical comparison, which is just as important to the process itself. So Ingus is not a rune of thoughtlessness. It's a very contemplative rune, and it's more of a sustained idea that it reaches its apex from the sacrifice of your action or whatever it may have been to get there after you, you know, after you manifest it and turn it into whatever it is that you're wanting to do into something. And what's fun about Ingus is that the timeline can vary. So perhaps like, I mean, and this is just pulling from like my own experience, but like a sewing or a painting idea that I have in my head, and it just kind of strikes out of nowhere, and it's all you can think about, and you plan it out in your head, and then you sketch it on paper, and like in this creative burst of energy, after all of that, you just pour out into the canvas, and that can be done in all in the span of a day or two. But it's that same, you know, planning, storing, and expulsion of energy just in a shorter timeline. And you can work with Ingus in those states to kind of help with that creative flow and that expression of energy. While on the other hand, it can go a lot longer. You know, like my mind right now is on garden planning, and, you know, spring is here. I'm getting, you know, we've gotten the aquaponics bed ready. I'm prepping the little baby seedlings to be moved to the bed, and all of that's happening. And this is all coming after this planning and designing and this gestation period of when it was too cold to do all of this, and now we're in action. So it can kind of expand or shrink in timeline, but the goal is always that, you know, be prosperous, do what you want to do, think about it, and think about the implications of it. And, you know, just I love that about it. It's not just like a straightforward, like, war or like this or like, you know, money come. It's like, no, you need to think about it. You need to fucking put a plan together and get ready and build your energy and put it together and then go for it. And I love it. I love that.
I like what you said about, excuse me, my voice is kind of doing things. I like what you said about thinking about the implications of things. And as far as what has to be sacrificed, I know that's the whole point of what you're talking about, but yeah. It is something that so often just goes completely ignored, you know? And I it kind of touched a little close to home with something that like I went through when I was first getting into all of this. I started this whole journey, and I think I've talked about it before, with like basically acts of gratitude and kind of being like, okay, let me think about what I have that the people did not have that they lived through to get me here and shit like that. So it's just sort of a way to kind of tie that in, I think. It's just to be like, okay, well, I'm warm, and let's think about how it took as crazy as it is that you're here and surviving, so is like everything in your life. So it's, I don't know, it's you're making me think.
Oh, it's a thinker.
Oh, I don't feel comfortable doing that on the Witch Bitch Amateur Hour. Let's go back to talking about, let's go back to talking about sperm.
But what if your hands were tacos?
Yeah. If you could excrete any food, what would it be? And why did I pick mashed potatoes?
Oh, God. That's what y'all are missing on the Patreon Lives, gang.
Another plug for the Patreon Lives.
Oh. So, of course, I would be remiss if I did not talk about sexual fertility here.
Oh, we are going back to sperm.
It's an important layer in this rune, an important energy that can be utilized. So it's again, you know, this is kind of the more masculine side, you know, the seed side. So in sex magic, Ingus is represented not just by, like, for instance, like, of course, the orgasm, but the moments just before and the lead up and the after effect. You know, it's the whole experience of that. You know, it's this.
I'm sorry, I'm a child. I'm sorry.
Are you dying over there a little bit?
I'm so sorry. I'm a fucking kid. I'm sorry. I'm going to try not to giggle. Go on.
And so, I mean,
you said orgasm.
So I do feel like if you're focusing right now on like fertility magic, things like that, incorporating Ingus and Burkana together, which is kind of the female fertility rune in the Elder Futhark, I don't see how that could hurt things to kind of draw from those two energies together. As mentioned before, Ingus is a contemplative rune. Like the action doesn't just stop after you've like done the thing you wanted to do. You know, as mentioned earlier, Freyr wasn't just about like getting your own way by doing it like whatever the fuck you wanted to accomplish your goal and then just being like, all right, I did it. Now it's done. It's like, no, there's future to think about. There's lineage to think about. That same, you know, contemplation of the after, you know, so say for instance, like, all right, you've started a business, you know, and it's, you did the thing, you planned it and you started a business and it's, you know, you're doing it and it's happening. How can you be sure and make sure to be mindful that as your orders grow and whatnot, that profits don't become such the sole thing that you need, that you start neglecting things like maybe those could go into more sustainably sourced ingredients or, you know, split it down the middle a little bit and, or maybe compostable mailers or, you know, like things like that to where it's like, of course, a business needs to be prosperous. It needs to grow, but a little bit of sacrifice can go a long way in the long-term prosperity of accumulating wealth and affluence in that more sustainable, it might be slower, but kind of prosperous way in this eye, like this view.
And on the other side of that, even in consumerism, you know what I mean? I'm kind of thinking like it may be a little more expensive up front to maybe make your own clothes or to
get
things from small businesses or something like, opposed to something like fast fashion or like fucking
right.
Shane or what are the other, Fashion Nova or some shit like that just cranks stuff out and is literally killing everyone on the whole fucking planet for a crop top. I could talk about that for a while. But it's kind of the same thing. Like, you know, and I'm not saying everyone can just afford to do this, but if you can, you know, you're going to end up with a quality item that lasts.
Yeah.
Versus shelling out $2 for a pair of panties that are going to rip off if you breathe on them.
It really does make a difference. And it is a sacrifice. Like it is more expensive, unfortunately, but that's just the way that it is. And the goal eventually is that, you know, with economies of scale, like eventually that will drop, you know, as it becomes a more prominent practice. But yeah, it is definitely pricier, but it does feel good, you know, and the quality, I mean, buying shit from makers has spoiled me so much, like, especially in this community, because like anything you need can be found in the Wix community and everybody is so talented. And so it's just like, I'm spoiled to it to where like, when I get commercial shit now, it's lifeless, it's dead. Yeah. But like, it just doesn't have the same quality. It just shit falls apart or it doesn't work as well as like my stuff from my favorite makers. I don't know. It's just, it's worth it. It's worth the sacrifice and investing in that future.
And the other thing is I, feel this sense of guilt almost when I get something from like Amazon, even if you have to. Like case in point here, we had to recently get some new like ring lights to hold our phones and cameras and shit.
Yeah,
like that, and you know, podcasts. But we needed it quick, so we popped on Amazon.
Yeah, that was
and got
the thing.
It.
We needed it the next day, you know.
Yeah. So and we live in the real world, and we live in the modern world, like where that some aspect of that is never going to go away. However, when you are making that sacrifice to invest in something like a small business, they themselves have made the sacrifice to use those higher quality ingredients or to do XYZ. So it's sort of like this paying it forward of sacrifice, but it leads to a better situation for everybody.
I think that we see sacrifice as a negative thing when it's not. Sacrifice is a great thing. It's a meaningful thing. And I just think that the word, you know, at first hits you like, like human sacrifice, you know, it hits in a dark way to where in truth, it's a beautiful thing. And in doing it, you can become happier. Like that giving, that act of sacrifice just makes you more appreciative of what you have and what you're doing.
Now, is this, tell me, because I didn't read the book. I don't know. Is this kind of like a concept within Stoicism?
Yes. And I am so glad you asked, because I wanted to talk about Stoicism, but I didn't want to be like, and it's like in Stoicism.
But God damn it, I wish you did.
But in a way, yeah. You know, in a Stoicism, It also, you know, you hear the thing like, oh, he's very stoic, and that always just gets tied to like very unfeeling kind of like stone. And that's not really what Stoicism is all about. It can seem a little hard on the surface, to where it's like, yeah, if you want to, you know, live, it's about living well. You know, it's not like, sure, it's great if you become successful and are wealthy, that's great, but that shouldn't be living well in itself. Like, you have to live well. You have to be well with yourself and live a quote good life, you know. And it really goes into, in order to fully deeply appreciate things, it's good to contemplate not only not having them anymore and how that would affect your life, which can seem a bit negative, but it's really, really not. It's kind of changed a lot for me. But what goes into it, you know, like, are you bettering yourself by doing something that you know isn't good? You know, it's both selfish and not selfish. And I really, really like that about it. But the practice of contemplating what you eventually will no longer have really is one of the most valuable practices I think I've ever picked up on. And it makes gratitude just flow.
Yeah, since we talked about it on whatever episode that was that we talked about it, I've been making a point to kind of try to do that. And I've even thought about it in terms of like this podcast. I'm like, if this just stops tomorrow,
yeah,
I have learned not only so much about my own practice and my own, you know, like craft or whatever, but everything we just said about small business and fast fashion and like I would have never picked up on any of that. So it's like, I just think there's like really important lessons in everything that you do. And I don't want this to disappear tomorrow, but if it did, I'd be like, I got some shit out of this, you know?
Oh, absolutely. I do it with death all of the time. Yeah. And I'm not really like, I don't get afraid. Like, I can think about death and not freak out. And I think about death somewhat often because of this practice. I want to. And, you know, like I was thinking about death today when I was running and having this exuberant run. And I like to do that though, in those times, to be like, you know, these moments of living well. And I don't mean like from the health aspect of running, just that exuberance of running on a beautiful day, listening to beautiful music and living well. That's what makes it special. And, you know, yeah, I'm going to die one day, but appreciating life in this way, instead of just, you know, being inside, like fucking with the shades down, like having like a nap day on the couch, which, don't get me wrong, sometimes my spirit needs those, like everybody does.
Listen,
like, don't fuck around and think. But I mean, like the act of it's springtime. It's my one of my favorite times of the year. I know if I go outside, I'm going to have an exuberant experience. But even in those states, sometimes you don't want to, you know, but you have to think it's the stoic principle of, well, but these days are fleeting and spring is short.
Yeah.
And, you know,
yeah.
That's what I mean by it. It's like the whole day, you know, I'm just trying to be active. And then it's like, well, I also love a lazy fucking day, remembering that days are short no matter what, but spring days are even shorter. Get out there and have the experience, yeah. You know? And so it's like just thinking that way, that I don't want to like say negatively, but thinking of time is not permanent. Like this, none of this is permanent. It really changes your scope of action and what you do in that moment.
I read a quote, I think it was just like on fucking Instagram or something, but I read a quote by, who was it? Ricky Gervais. And it was this like half a paragraph of shit, but at the end it basically summed itself up with, enjoy being alive. You will not exist ever again. Yeah. And when I read that, I was kind of like, oh fuck. And regardless of what you believe, as far as like afterlife and shit like that, you're not going to exist as you do now.
Yeah.
And no matter what you believe. So like, I don't know. That was one of those kind of sobering things to just read. And you're just like, I'm not gonna ever exist again. What the fuck am I doing?
That's how, man, sometimes God, Regina Spektor can write a bombshell of a lyric in the sweetest, cutest little song you've ever heard, and it'll shake you to your spirit. But she, and she has a lyric that's, today you're younger than you're ever gonna be. And yeah. That one, I'm always like, oh my God, that's true.
Oh,
like,
shit.
Yeah, it's like, today you are younger than you're ever gonna be. And it's just like, and it's just kind of like this nice little, she slips it in this kind of like slowed down part. And it's just like, whoa, fuck.
Time to have an existential crisis.
Yeah. You're just driving down the road, listening to her just being excellent. And then that comes and she does that. And her writing just gets me, man. But yeah, no, it's, I think about that too, but it's good to think about those things. It's not, you know, and it is, and you're right. And this is, you were like goth, you know, because it's like, that's like the goth stereotype. But back in the day, like it was just part of philosophy. Like that's what you did. You thought about the things that you don't want to think about. You think about the hard stuff. And I don't know. I do find myself happier when I'm practicing that every day.
You heard it here, folks. Goths are stoics.
All of them.
All of them. Every single one you've ever met.
Hold on. Papa's calling me real quick. Let me see what he wants.
Uh-oh.
Hey, Papa.
Hey, girl. Hey, I've got a few things. I'm going to bring down some material for Hunter.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just going to put it on your back steps and he can move it in out of the dry.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, I'm recording in the back room, so I probably won't see you, but yeah, I'll just let him know when he gets in. Yeah.
Tell Papa I said hi. Tell Papa I said hi.
Okay. Charlie says hello.
Okay, okay, thank you.
He says, oh, hi. Bye.
Okay, I would like to leave all of that in because I could hear him clear as day. And the fact that when you said hello, he said, hey, girl.
Yeah, and then he ended to, bye.
Yeah. I hope I didn't talk over it. But anyone who watches...
Okay.
I hope so. I think if anyone watches Bob's Burgers, there's that one. It's the Jimmy Jr.'s cousin, who's like the Southern cousin. He's always saying stuff like, hey, girl, that's it. Just exactly. Okay.
Wait a minute. Is Zeke Jimmy Jr.'s cousin?
Yeah, man.
How did I not know that? I've watched that show for way too many hours of my life, and I did not
know
that.
Hold on. Unless I made that up, I'm typing in Zeke Jimmy Jr. cousin.
I love Zeke.
Oh, it says he's close friends.
Yeah, they're best friends.
I could have sworn. Okay, don't know where that came from. Continue.
Oh, God, that's pretty much it. That's what I have for you about Ingus.
Well, thank you. And how's the other way to say it?
Ingwaz.
Ingwaz, Ingus. Okay, cool. Lit. That was quite I had a good time with that one. That one made me think.
Yeah.
I feel like we haven't really paused to have that much conversation in a while.
Yeah, the rune episodes always seem to do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like that.
I'm still waiting for my algaes episode.
Have I not done algaes?
I don't know.
I don't think I have. I actually don't think I have. I've done more than I think that I have. But I don't think I actually have done algae.
We've done more episodes of this show than I think we have. Dude, this is episode 139.
I know.
139, dude. We're going to have to stop this soon for sure.
Yeah. Well, what's going to happen if we hit 200?
We get sued by Bush's baked beans.
But they're waiting. They're waiting for our, yeah, whether it be bicentennial, yeah, achievement, yeah, or whatever it would be.
You know, legal, you know, like once a show hits 100 episodes, it's like syndicated. Like that's what they're doing. Like legally, we have to reference them over 200 times before they can sue us. That's what's going on.
That's what's happening.
Hey, Mace.
Yeah, man.
Listen, we talked earlier in this episode about going down a self-care journey. Mm-hmm. You know, with our shoes and our corsets.
Of course, naturally. Yeah.
I also, listen, I've been upping my, like, I've been taking like a fish oil pill every day, oh, and a multivitamin, and I'm like trying to like nourish myself, you know what I mean? I've heard a lot of hype about elderberry syrup, but I gotta ask you, Macy, what is it?
So we have today, Charlie, the perfect sponsor to clear this up for you.
Charlie.
Today, we're going to be talking to you guys about our sponsor. We got a brand new sponsor to the Wabah Coven, and this is Elder and Rose Botanicals.
Elder and Rose handcrafts small batches of elderberry herbal syrups.
So they actually have 4 of these, and they are so delicious.
I want to list off the different flavors that they carry, and I need you to break it down for me. Are you ready?
Yeah, man.
Let's start off with the tried and true, straight up elderberry syrup.
It tastes like elderberries. It's really delicious. I've been taking this every day along with my vitamin, which is also like a gummy vitamin because I'm a child. And it's a really, I like look forward to it every yeah, day, because it's kind of like a little treat, you know, because it really is delicious. And it's this nice, it's like not too thick, not too thin of a syrup. And it's in these lovely, I will put a picture up on Instagram, these lovely like brown medicine bottles is like what kind of what it comes in. It's just really, really an enjoyable experience. And the elderberry and rosehip one is really lovely as well. It does have like that kind of floral note to it. The ginger spice one, it's not like too spicy, because like ginger, you know, can sometimes be like spicy. And it's not really like that. It's really, really nicely done. And then the honey one, which is really, really, really good too. So, I mean, it is, it's really just kind of like a little treat in the day.
I also believe in the power of getting well or staying well because somebody has crafted something with so much love. It's like when you're sick and someone makes you a bowl of chicken soup and you immediately feel better because you're like, this person made me some chicken soup.
Yeah.
All of the elderberries are wildcrafted in the forests and fields of the Pacific Coast mountain range. So first of all, can we talk about that? And they always make sure to harvest just what they need and leave enough for the wildlife there. So when you go through Elder and Rose, you're not getting, you know, this mass produced, mm-hmm, rip the earth down kind of a harmful situation. They're caring for you as a person. They're caring for their business and they're caring for the earth.
It's that sacrifice element.
Oh, my God.
And they bring that up again. I was actually thinking about that because they also say they like to use spring water from the Pacific Coast range, and they bring it home and they make moon water, full moon water with it prior to making the syrups. And what I really liked is that they said if they're like sold out of syrups, they still wait until the next full moon to repeat this process, even though it might take a little longer to replenish the stock. they want that energy in there, that full moon kind of goodness that goes into it. And I really appreciate that. The it keeps going. They use wildflower honey from they said a friend's farm who keep bees, and they buy it from them raw. And they know that the bees are well cared for. You know, they're happy bees. Honey made by happy bees.
And the same farm that takes care of these happy bees are where they get the rose hips that they use in the rose hip syrup. Mm. The organic ginger is fresh from local stores. And also, as a side note here, the sugar that they use is vegan, organic, and bone char free.
It's something that I've added to my day that I like doing. It feels good to do. It's so delicious. I can't really say that enough, how really just absolutely delicious it is. And like, they sent this card, or like, it kind of came with it, and they said like you could even like pour it over ice cream, and I was just like, oh,
shut your mouth.
Yeah, it over some like vanilla bean ice cream would send me.
Which is your favorite?
That's really tough to say. The honey one was really delicious. You could taste that it was sweetened with honey. The other three are sweetened with sugar. But I really love the rose hip one. It does have the floral notes that are really, really nice. The ginger and spice one is interesting. And I the more that I try it, the more that I really like it. It's pulling ahead. Yeah, I think out of them, it's just wonderfully spiced. It's not too much and not too little. And the elderberry one's just delicious. I mean, it's elderberries, you know, it's like the, I don't want to use the word plain flavor because it's really wonderfully flavored, but it's like tried and true, and it's delicious, and it tastes very fresh, and just it tastes like, in the best way, it tastes crafted. It tastes like handmade with time and care.
Mm-hmm. So Elder and Rose has extended a generous and fat discount of 10% to our Wabeans with the code WBAH. Shipping is currently in the to the U.S. only, and you can find them on Facebook, Instagram, and their website is elderandrose.com.
One more time, that's a 10% off. 10% off code. You can use the code WABA, all caps, to get it. And also, like, they included kind of some future plans. They're working on expanding. And the next product that they want to be rolling out is an elderberry tincture for those who maybe don't want to consume or cannot have the sugar or the honey in their diets. That's kind of exciting. Kind of an alternate little method of taking in the elderberry.
That's very sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, or not sweet.
Oh,
there's no.
Oh,
oh my God. Again, check them out. That's elderandrose.com.
Charlie.
Macy.
I have a question for you.
Ask me.
How's your mental health doing these days?
I'm so glad that you care enough about me as a human to ask that question. And if you don't have anyone in your life asking you how your mental health is and you need to talk about it, have we got the solution for you?
We have BetterHelp, and BetterHelp is an online counseling service where you can be matched with a personal licensed counselor who can talk with you, chat with you, phone call with you to create a private session environment that's comfortable for you.
That's right. You can talk to a licensed professional all without ever having to sit in a uncomfortable, a stinky, dirty, nasty waiting room.
And if you find that you maybe aren't super connecting with your counselor, that's okay. It's no big deal. You can change at any time. There's no extra costs associated with that. It's not a big deal. And then you can get paired with somebody else that really gets you.
One of my favorite benefits of using BetterHelp is there's a broad range of expertise available, which may not be, you know, something that your area has. If you're looking for something particular, the one or two therapists you have in your small town that you might live in may not want to talk to you about that. So BetterHelp can help you with things such as depression,
stress,
anxiety,
relationships,
problems sleeping,
family conflicts,
anger,
grief,
LGBT plus matters.
Trauma.
And self-esteem.
And more. So, if you want to give BetterHelp a try, we are thrilled to offer a 10% off code for your first month. This code is WITCH. And to get it, you code to BetterHelp, H-E-L-P, help.com/WITCH to get 10% off your first month today.
All right, Maze, welcome back from those mid-rolls. Now I'm going to dive into my topic, which you didn't even ask me about at the opening.
I know. I was hoping you weren't going to mention that.
No, can't get away from shit from me. But we did talk about this earlier because I wrote you and I was like, I swear, I don't know if we've talked about this because the name, I'm talking about motherwort. It's an herb. And it sounds like one of those AKAs. Like it sounds like it's a nickname to something else. However, it's not only is that not the case, we haven't talked about it, but it doesn't really even have that many nicknames. Usually I like an herb to rattle on pretty good about gentleman's butthole and was it old woman, old man, lad's love, all that. But this one, it's Leonurus cardiaca. And the Leonurus part is, it means of the lion. And the cardiaca is of the heart. Cardia.
You see what we're doing here?
So the only real other name that this goes by is Lionheart or Lion's Heart. And you get one motherfucking guess as to what family this is in.
Mint.
It's in the mint fam. Its element is fire. The sign it's associated with is Leo. The planet is Venus. And the tarot cards it's attached to is the Strength card and the Empress card.
Oh.
Now, one thing that I saw that was interesting, this was basically just somebody's take on it, was the fact that the element and the sign are, you know, fire and Leo, but paired with the planet that it is tied to is Venus. Those are kind of combative with each other. However, when you kind of get into the plant and what it does, it makes sense because this plant, in the metaphysical sense, it has the energy of a protective mother. Oh. Or you know, a protective mother figure. I know sometimes people don't have like the best relationship with their mom and they're like, you know, I know that sometimes like these things that say stuff like, oh, this plant is like a mom. And it's like, well, so a very good mother, we're talking protects you with the strength of a million car flippers and the fire of 400 lighters.
Yeah. I guess you could say stereotypical mom, like mother.
Yeah. Your ideal mother figure, I guess, or parental figure, whatever. Listen here. Motherwort is a big boy. It grows up to 10 feet tall.
Oh, yeah. Is it a shrub?
It's almost grassy.
Oh, cool.
Like, it's kind of like a bluebonnet situation.
Motherwort.
Not grassy. That's probably not the way to put it.
At first glance, it kind of looks like weed.
Okay. Yeah. Exactly. But it's sort of like a stalk. What's the word I'm looking for?
I know. It is. It's like a stalk. But
And it's funny that you say it sort of looks like weed because a lot of the time the plant is regarded as a weed. It is grown and cultivated for its properties, both the mundane and the metaphys. However, it's not really used that much in landscaping. I think that when it blooms, it looks pretty. Yeah. However, I would see where maybe you wouldn't just plant this around your house when you have other options like roses. And
It does kind of look like a pasture weed.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And unless that's the look you're going for. So the contraindications with motherwort, I want to get out of the way up front. Do not use if you have any of the following. Pregnancy. If you have pregnancy, you heard me. Heavy menstrual bleeding. Hypothyroidism. Those taking benzodiazepines. And those who are taking heart medications or sedatives need to talk to their doctors because in some situations, mixing the two can cause some serious side effects. So...
How you can use motherwort is
you can actually do this one internally. I feel like I shy away from those a lot of the time, unless it's something so completely basic like onion or, you know, I'm talking about bell peppers today. Like, it's obviously a food.
Yeah. I was seeing a lot of tinctures when I looked it up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's tinctures, teas. You can use all of the above ground parts in it to make these with. I advise the teas because too much motherwort can be like not a great thing. So unless you are well versed in making tinctures, you know, stick to the tea. And you can do that with 2 to 4 grams of dried motherwort. And you just make that in the same way you'd make a tea. Steep it. You're definitely going to want to mix it with other teas and ingredients. It has a smell and taste that has been described as bitter and displeasing.
Oh. So,
keep that in mind. However, that being said, it is used in some beer and other the creation of some other beverages. When I guess you kind of want that.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
excuse me.
A lot of the times when we go into the history of things on this show, it's like, this was first cited in a book that's a million years old. This one, not so much. It's metaphysical properties have been the main use of the plant for a very long time. However, in a medicinal sense, writings of motherwort only span back to about the 17th century, okay. Really early 17th, really late 16th century, with the name that we know it today by. There's a couple of herbs that have been written about beforehand that, like, people speculate, oh, that might be motherwort, you know, but there's not, like, concrete evidence. So, in 1652, our friend of the show, Nicholas Culpepper, wrote this.
Back again,
he wrote this of motherwort. There is no better herb to drive melancholy vapors from the heart, to strengthen it, and to make a merry, cheerful soul. That's not my Nicholas Culpepper voice.
No, it's not. He's evolving.
It's okay. That's part of his gig. He never shows up the same twice. It makes women joyful mothers of children and settles, I love this line, settles the wombs as they should be. Therefore, we call motherwort. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I know what he meant. I know what he meant by that.
It's, I know.
Because I'll go into some more. He goes on to describe the antispasmodic and relaxing properties of motherwort.
Yeah, that's what I was assuming he meant.
Yes. But the phrasing of that calms your womb as it should be. And I think we need to replace calm your tits with calm your womb.
Look, calm your womb.
Yeah, calm your womb as it should be. There's even a Chinese fable that tells, and this is fucking cool, dude. If there's like an anime about this, I'd watch the fuck out of this. There's a Chinese fable that tells of a town on the edge of a river plentiful in motherwort, whose inhabitants lived for over 125 years after drinking the motherwort-infused waters.
You walked a thin line, almost putting your foot in Zach Bagan's category when you did that. You didn't quite, it wasn't quite that intense, but it was close and I enjoyed it.
Can motherwort make you live for 125 years?
What will our heroines do to secure the motherwort for their own personal gain?
Put it in your jaw? But dude, tell me if there's like a cartoon based on that, living for 125 years because you drank some magic water. Tell me that you wouldn't watch the shit out of that.
I mean, I feel like you need to flesh the plot out a little more because that right
there. No, just that. It's 125 seasons of just the day-to-day life of the inhabitants. Point blank period.
Oh, that's what it's called.
It's called motherwort, semicolon, point blank period.
Point blank period.
All right. That's dumb. in the mundane sense, as indicated by its name, Lionheart, Motherwort is used mostly in matters of the heart and blood health. Okay, I want to go ahead and throw out the disclaimer here. Don't do anything we ever talk about for medicinal purposes without talking to your doctor. There. Traditionally, motherwort has been used for anxiety-related palpitations of the heart. It may also reduce the threat of clots in the blood, bring on a late period, and has been shown to lower blood pressure.
Hmm.
I have definitely had anxiety-related heart palpitations before. I think a lot of people have. But
I get hormonal heart palpitations all the time.
Yeah, same, dude. And it's fucking scary.
Yeah, I got them, I was getting them worse because I was stressed more. And this was as of like a year or so ago, I think. But I actually went and got like an EKG done just in case, like just because sometimes they're like intent and they're like, no, it's just fucking hormones. You're fine.
Good call, dude. To me, it always kind of feels like my heart skips a beat. Well, I guess that's literally what it is.
I wonder, every time though, like this is it? Is this it? Like,
this is the one. I'm coming, Elizabeth.
Yeah, it's exactly it. Exactly.
So I think I might actually start drinking some motherwort tea. I got to find what mixes well to kind of hiding that, distasteful flavor that it has. because it seems to work really well with periods. Now, again, do not use it if you are on like your heavy flow days. I would probably even maybe not drink it like the day before
that
as well, just to be safe, because it does stimulate bleeding. And if you're already there, you don't want to be more there. And if you go through that, you know what I'm talking about. But it is antispasmodic. So it's going to help with cramps of any kind, but, you know, most notably and most effective against period pains. It is relaxing to the nervous system. So in addition to promoting sleep, and what's interesting is I saw that the way that motherwort relaxes you is it relaxes you without making you dopey. Like, I guess like valerian kind of always makes me feel. This is going to help to relax you and chill you out in a way that doesn't make you feel kind of foggy. So it will promote sleep. It's not going to put you to sleep, but simply because you won't be sitting there or less so sitting there ruminating on anxious thoughts and stuff. It'll help you get a good sleep. But some people do use it for nerve pain and nerve pain conditions such as fibromyalgia. Sorry, when I said nerve pain and nerve pain accessories, I was just in my head thinking about propane and propane accessories.
It makes me think of Nerf guns and Nerf gun accessories.
Well, I'm glad that happened. I saw a fair amount of motherwort in relation to the lungs, issues like asthma, bronchitis, colds, and wait for it, typhoid. We're all eased with the use of this herb.
I want to say motherwort is what Claire, I think she in Outlander helps a guy with it when he's having it like an asthmatic attack. And I want to say she puts motherwort in his pipe, I feel like.
Oh, you know, I probably I didn't see this listed as a major use for it, but I do wonder about the smoking. This might be taken out or not, but I just don't know. I would advise against it. And I typically don't like to talk about smoking herbs because I always feel like that it could be pretty iffy. But I it seems to me like this might be one of those that you could do this with because it kind of has a Yerba Santa vibe to me.
Yeah,
like helping with the lungs and stuff like that. In a magical or metaphys sense, just like the mundane uses relate to the healing of the heart, motherwort can help in matters of emotional heartache. It helps, it can lift the mood, and it offers love without judgment, which I thought was really cool. Again, kind of circling back to that mothering nature that it has, protective, emotionally healing, peaceful, but also fiery and protective and stuff like that. You can use this herb when you need to heal after the ending of a relationship, when you need some self-love, or when you just otherwise need the comfort of a mother's energy. Sometimes it's not enough to just be like, self-love, love yourself, self-love, love yourself, because sometimes you can't. Sometimes you physically can't, and what you're longing for and what you need emotionally is to feel that coming from another source.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you could talk all day about the validity of that and everything, but sometimes you're just like, I just want to fucking hug. Mm-hmm. So motherwort is a very good herb to have in those times and to feel that way. And it makes sense again to me, because when I'm hormonal, that's kind of how I'm feeling,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is speaking to me kind of directly.
Yeah.
And it's like, Charlie, drink this for your period. You won't be such an asshole.
You know, I understand it though. I mean, like I've kind of been thinking the same thing, mainly just a lot of it from kind of the nerve standpoint and,
yeah.
you know, kind of leveling that out to where you don't experience, because like sometimes you don't even realize, like it sounds silly to say you forget yeah. every month, but you kind of do. And yeah. you just kind of realize like one day, like, man, why am I just feel like, for me, it's a lot of it's lethargy. Like, why am I feeling so lethargic every month? Every goddamn month, you know, and instead of like, and you do just forget. So like the thought of regulating that a little bit to where, you know, would be nice, to where it's not 2 or 3 days every month of being a zombie.
I know that I've like talked to you before and I've just been like, I don't know what's up with me. I've just been in the darkest place for like the past 2 days. And it, even if I knew with my waking brain that I was, you know, it was going to happen soon. Even if I knew that, I would never correlate it. And the amount of times that, Macy, you have written me back or, you know, videoed me back or whatever and been like, are you about to start?
It changes everything. It's just usually, it's the answer a lot of the time.
I'll dude, I cannot tell you how many times you said that. And I just go, oh.
yeah.
And suddenly everything doesn't seem so bad, but it can help to lift the mood. You know, if you are super anxious, or if you're feeling like you're not getting good rest, or if you're having issues like you know, almost depression, I guess. I don't know if that's...
Melancholy.
Melancholy. Thank you. Anyway, you can also use it to keep evil away, because it acts as a deterrent. Again, think of a really protective mom protecting her child. You know, It's almost like that algae's energy, like that, like here I'm showing you my sword and I'm willing to protect it, but it's not like actively fighting anything. Mm-hmm. It's just like, I'm here and I'm on guard and I'm ready. And on Hearth Wisdom's website, which I'm actually going to hop over and purchase me some motherwort in just a bit when we get done recording, they have this to say about motherwort. Promote inner trust and confidence that the ultimate outcome will be best for all involved in the fullness of time.
Oh.
It is also used, I know, isn't that pretty? It is also used for counter magic and associated with immortality and spiritual healing.
That's some
and that, stuff. My dudes, bros, that's motherwort.
Nice. Concise. I liked it. It was good.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm really scared of the tea, because I don't do well with things that are stinky or taste bad. I know it's kind of your jam, so I'm sitting here wondering if you would be into it. But like the other day, I was reorganizing my, I'm like running low on jars, and I have a bunch of bags of herbs. And I was like, I want to put some of these away. And you know, yeah. And you're kind of like, I need to put this away, but I did. So I finally swapped out what I had my valerian in for something else.
And it'll smell like valerian for the rest of your life.
It immediately, mm-hmm. I realized what a mistake I had made. My mm-hmm. whole room smelled like feet, a foot, 1 foot.
I need to get some more. I'm running low on it and ugh. I miss it.
I like it. I mean, I like the herb. I like what it does. I don't like that smell. And I would just walk by. I'd walk by my altar. Oh, you are weird. Oh, woof.
Wow. This was good. I enjoyed this. This was a fun episode.
This was chatty, but I feel like it was chatty in a productive way.
Yeah, we stayed on topic mostly.
I know. Usually when we describe our episodes as chatty, it's because we talked about beans or, you know, fruitcake for 25 minutes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know why beans and fruitcake was the first thing. Oh, this might need to be a topic that we save for a live, because this is the kind of bullshit we do in our lives. But are you a fruitcake person? Yes or no? Yay or nay?
I could 100% take it or leave it.
Really? You have no strong feelings.
The only dessert, or if it's one of just a couple of desserts, sure. But if it's sitting on a table of a bunch of other desserts, I will take the others.
Fruitcake's one of those things that I want to like in theory, and I have like the idea of how it should taste in my head, but then you actually put it in your mouth and you just go, oh, I'm bummed out.
It's not as fun as it looks.
Yeah. It looks like it would be candy cake.
Yeah.
It's just not.
It's not. It's really not.
But do you know what is candy cake? A big hot bundt cake. Yeah. A big hot delicious steaming bundt cake. Iced with this wonderful review footage.
Just fill the hole with it.
Oh, nice. Right in the middle. That way when you cut into it, they all kind of spill out.
Lava cake, but with review footage.
But horrible. Yeah. You cut into a cake and these words just fall out. You ready? Today's hot review footage comes from Mrs. Fetty G.
Oh, all right. Yeah.
Mrs. Fetty G. And it's entitled, Wonderful and Relatable. I've been a beginner witch for years now, and I love learning new things and reconnecting with my practice along with the episodes. Many thanks, and blessed be. Purple heart emoji.
Cute. I don't know why. I don't know if it was the way that you said beginner, but she said like, I have been a beginner, but for some reason when you started saying like the first syllable, I heard, I have been a begonia, and I couldn't get over it.
See, I thought you were going to say, I have been a baguette.
I've been a begonia, and it stayed with me the whole review.
I have been a begonia for 13 years. I wish someone would come along and save me. Macy, Macylicious.
Oh.
Rockin' scab toes, McGee Macy.
Yeah, that's what they call me.
I have a product that I make.
Mm.
And it is relevant to the witchy community.
Oh.
I wish there was a way that I could get my socials, product, Instagram, that's a social, you know what I mean, seen by many witches all at once and talked about and reviewed.
Listen, Charlie, have I news for you?
Jesus.
You can hop online right now. Right now, you can hop online. Whenever
you're being Vince.
So here's what you do. You get in your computer and you turn it on.
You're the slap chop. Oh, you're being the slap chop guy.
And you sit in your chair and you adjust it to the right height you want it, because sometimes somebody sits in it and adjusts the height and it's not the way that you like it. And you know it doesn't have the lumbar support. So you adjust it the way that you want it. Make sure that it's right. All right. And then you need to make sure that you're signed into you as a user. The one, you know, the one that's your little icon. That means that it's you.
Jesus.
Click that. Okay. Okay. And so then, depending on how your computer's set up, you might just have a mail icon at the bottom that you can click. That'll just open up your mail. If not, that's okay too. You can just open up your browser. Now Your browser is the one that takes you on the internet. There's a whole bunch of different ones. You probably already have one that's set up on your computer. You can click that. Hopefully you know which one it is. You click it. Log in to your email account. This can be whichever one, whatever. There's a whole bunch of different ones. Okay, so you pick the one that belongs to you. And then you need to sign into it. And so then you need to compose an email. I know Gmail says compose. Yours might say something else. I don't know. There's a whole bunch of different email carriers. You open up your message and you type it out, and it's to wbahpodcast@gmail.com. And you say, listen, I want an advertisement with yous. Okay. And then we'll get your email and then we'll talk about it. And that's how you advertise with the Witch Witch Amateur Hour podcast.
You start. Oh, Macy, you're back. While you were gone, yeah, the slap chop guy came by. And then he slowly morphed into, like, fucking Tony Soprano at
the end. Felt that happen. I know. I felt the shift happen, and I was in it so deep, I just had to lean into it at that point.
I loved it. It was great. I'm so sorry that you missed that. You were gone.
I did kind of black out for a minute, to be completely honest with you. I don't remember exactly where I went. I just had to keep talking.
That's how it feels when Nicholas Culpepper comes through. I understand. I'm going to do the rest of these, if you don't mind, because I don't want to risk. I don't want to risk Vince coming back. All right. If you're interested in checking out our Instagram, check us out at Witch Bitch Amateur Hour. We have a Twitter where we will sometimes tweet, and mostly we retweet Corey's synopses of our episodes, which are always hot, buttery, fresh goodness. And we also like to retweet the Instagram account Witch Bitch Out of Context. So Witch Bitch Amateur Hour Out of Context. Check us out on Twitter at
Bitch Hour.
We have a Facebook. Come eat with us on Facebook at Witch Amateur Hour. And if you are interested in checking out those Patreon lives / supporting the podcast / checking out the content that we have over there, which is extra episodes, blog posts, spells that we do, stuff like that. Check us out on our Patreon, patreon.com/WBAH podcast. And lastly, Macy, where can everyone send their hate mail?
Oh, your beautiful hate mail. You can send that to P.O. Box 865 Charlie in Canton, Texas.
Wait, pause. Do that one again. What? Excuse me, Vince.
I was phasing back into myself.
Canton.
Canton, Texas. 75103.
Oh, God. It is done. Macy, the next time you let someone channel through you, it needs to be Sam Elliott.
Oh, yeah. That would be nice, wouldn't it?
Based solely on the way you said Canton, Texas.
Everybody would just get lulled into a peaceful sleep, and then I'd come back and ruin it.
Vince would come back and ruin it. All right.
Wow.
Well, that wraps up another episode of the Witch Bitch Amateur Hour. We hope you learned something.
I mean,
join us next time for our 140th episode, where we will do absolutely nothing to mark the occasion.
I think we'll at least be together that episode. That'll be nice.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You going to sleep?
Was that fucking Best in Show? Yeah.
Yeah. You going to sleep?
Nah. Do you know something I need to confess to you? You were talking the other day about the like the why video that lives rent-free in your head. I have something that lives rent-free in my head that comes from Waiting for Guffman, and I think I hear it play in my head at least once a day, and I think it's one of the funniest things ever said on camera, ever made, and it's not even one of the funnier lines of that movie, but it is funny. I can see and hear multiple times a day Eugene Levy. It's him. It's in Waiting for Guffman, and it's at the very end, you know, when he's kind of on his own, and it zooms in, or it's like right on him, and it says, "I do indeed have talent," and I hear it all the time, all the time, and I think it's one of the funniest things ever said on camera ever.
Dude, one of these days when we get really too big for our britches, we're gonna have a soundboard, and we're gonna need things like this to drop, like after we describe, like, you know, "Oh, this weekend was so great because I went out and I painted my house," or, you know, whatever. And then we'd drop that. We'd be like, "I have talent."
Oh my God. Yeah, I just had to get that out because I've thought about that quote ever since that you said that. Because I was like, oh man, that's mine. That's my one that looks.
Oh, I have one that is from Best in Show. And I just, anytime I get irrationally mad about something, but I realize I'm blaming things that aren't really the thing's fault that I'm blaming, I just go, did somebody put something down here so I would trip?
Yeah. Did someone trip me? Oh my God. Yeah.
You're going to show Winky. We got to end because we'll sit here and quote this all day long.
I know. Hopefully we've made people want to watch those. And hopefully the 4 or 5 that have, at least one of them liked it.
Hopefully. Yeah. But you know what's probably more common is they go, I don't get it.
That's, I get it. I get it that you don't get it, honestly. So I do.
There's something familiar to me about that handler. Hear that? God damn.